The following program is produced by the Tech Talk Radio Network.
So there's a glitch in our internet webcast. So all of you out there, type control\semicolon\alt.escape, and you'll be fine.
Perfect.
Hey, Bill Nye, the science guy here. Whenever I am listening to the radio, especially Tech Talk Radio, it's just such a party.
Welcome to another edition of Tech Talk Radio, or segment. What are we saying?
Edition?
Edition?
I think this is a full show.
Do we say segment? It's
an edition. Well, it's a show.
Welcome to another grand show of Tech Talk Radio.
You know what? Just stop.
Why?
Just stop.
What?
Let me do this.
You want to do it? You want
to
take it?
Welcome to another edition of Tech Talk Radio. My name is Justin Lemmy.
I'm Andy Taylor. We have the show
that talks about computers,
technology,
and the internet. How you doing, Andy?
I'm doing good. It's good to have you back. You were kind of, you had the family in town.
I'm on vacation a little bit. Went up to the mountains, did some fishing, caught some fish, had really crappy Wi-Fi, you know, the usual.
Now, where did you end up going? It looked beautiful, looked serene.
It's actually just about an hour northwest of Denver called Estes Park.
I've heard of it.
Well, Estes Park is actually pretty famous. A lot of people don't realize what Estes Park is famous for, but let me give you a hint.
All right.
Here's a line from a movie.
Oops.
And you tell me, tell me if you happen to know what movie this is from.
All right.
Here we go. You ready?
I'm ready.
Here's Johnny.
Oh, that's, so it's Johnny Carson's show started there. No, of course I know what you're talking about.
It's The Shining. The Stanley Hotel is famous in Estes Park. So The Shining actually took place at the Stanley Hotel. I believe, I could be a little bit mistaken, but I believe it was Stanley Kubrick actually visited the Stanley Hotel and decided that this is the perfect spot for him to film this movie.
Wow. Yeah. And did you, so you saw the hotel, it's there.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I mean, I haven't been in the hotel,
right?
Cause I don't really want to get scared. But I do know that they do tours, the Shining tours, where they tour the rooms that was in the movie. They tour the famous hallway, where the little girls were at, during that time.
That was scary. Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. That was a good movie. That was kind of cool.
You know, I've actually never seen it.
You've never seen The Shining with Jack Nicholson and Shelley Duvall?
Nope.
Oh, wow.
You know what? I heard about this, though. This
is interesting. Scatman Crothers. Come on.
I heard about this. Did you know that Shelley Duvall, so Stanley Kubrick, because he wanted to have Shelley Duvall be as authentic in her performance as possible, do you know that he actually subjected her to weeks and weeks of actual mental torture?
Wow.
He would yell at her. He would berate her. They would feed her very little food. Just basically on the verge of actual torture because he wanted her to feel and show like perfect emotion during that. And that's why her performance was so amazing because she literally was afraid for her life.
You know, she did really good in that movie, too.
Yeah, exactly, because he tortured her to the point where she was literally afraid of anybody that would come at her and yell at her, which was what Jack Nicholson does in the movie.
Oh, yeah.
So I've heard. And so she was literally afraid. It was authentic terror on her part.
Wow. And he says, you know, Kubrick was a scary-looking guy.
Well,
he had dark rings around his eyes. He had long hair. And
Yeah, he was a really weird dude. Yeah.
Well, it was nice you got a chance, though, to get out and get away.
Estes Park is beautiful. I recommend anybody that wants to get away to the Rocky Mountains, forget Aspen. You know, that's where the celebrities go. Just get away from there. Go to Estes Park.
Right.
Estes Park, I mean, you can get – we stayed in a cabin that slept four people, and it cost us for 2 days, I think it was like $400.
Oh,
for 2 days. But the cabin was literally on the river. You open up your back door to the patio. There's the river. We saw elk. We saw moose. I could fish right off the patio. I mean, it was the most amazing thing. And we were surrounded by mountains.
Oh, wow. Beautiful.
Yeah.
Beautiful. Yeah. So you had no tech while you were out there.
Well, we did. They had Wi-Fi, but it would disconnect every like 10 minutes.
There was a study recently that people now are doing these vacations where you have to disconnect. The whole goal is they go on these vacations, they take their technology and they turn them in. And then they're on the vacation. They turn in all this technology so they can't use it. And people are saying they really want to do this because they want to disconnect. Because let's face it, we're tied to this stuff.
That's the reason you leave. That's the reason you go on vacation, is to get away from technology.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, at least for me.
Well, Simon Cowell, this past week from America's Got Talent, you know that guy.
Yeah.
There was a story about him.
It's a no for me.
Is that your Simon Cowell?
It's a no for me.
I thought it was more like Paula Abdul, you know, when she used to do an idol. Simon Cowell says that he has not used his smartphone in 10 months. It's just, you know,
I'm sorry. There. I'm calling BS on that.
Well, he is saying that he hasn't. He hasn't been on Twitter since.
The guy runs like, what, three different companies?
Right?
And he's on two different shows. Yeah. Well, I'm sorry. I really want to say it, but this is radio, but I'm calling BS.
No, because think about it, though. If you have everybody that, okay, you have a set time to send in a fax, to pop in or call on the telephone.
What the hell's a fax?
On a house line or an email. I mean, he's not saying he doesn't use computers. He's saying he doesn't use his smartphone.
Yeah, but I mean, we are so connected in technology today.
But you could use your computer. I mean, seriously, somebody could take their smartphone and said, you know what? If they need to reach me, they'll email me and I'll answer it when I answer it.
Well, that's true.
And he, for 10 months, he hasn't posted anything on Twitter since June of last year. But he says his life has become more serene.
Oh, absolutely.
He pays more attention to the people around him. He said it was overall for his mental health that it was better. And, you know, there's studies now that say people who are using their smartphones, they're actually getting depressed. You know, I think it applies more to the millennials, you know, that are out there, which I think, aren't you?
Because they grew up with like a cell phone in their hand when they were born.
Pretty much. I mean, from the kids born in 84 on up. I think that's the millennial thing.
Well, technically it's 81, but I don't consider myself a millennial. I was born in 81, but I am definitely not a millennial.
You're above ahead of that curve.
I'm a little bit above them. Yeah, I would say in the social status.
But they're saying because they have been raised so much now on acceptance and likes, not from, you know, people you hang out with, or friends or school.
Oh, just random strangers.
But now these are just random strangers. And so they could post a picture that could be the most beautiful photo in the world. And somebody that appreciates art could say, that is beautiful. I love it. Right? But if they don't get...
What the hell was that?
That was a British...
British and you butchered that accent. You are British, dude. How do you butcher a British accent?
That is beautiful. That's a great one, it is.
That's a Cockney accent. I guess you're not Cockney. You should watch some more Geico commercials.
That little lizard. How the heck did they get a lizard to get a British accent?
I don't know. But he's not a lizard. He's a gecko.
Great.
Oh, God.
Oh, man. Okay, so, but the whole thing is then if they could get a like from the most important person, but if they don't get... you know, 150 to 100 likes.
They get depressed.
They go into a depression.
I'm seriously, I really wish we had a bleep button because I'm calling BS on this again.
Mm-hmm.
This is crap. This is the society that we live in nowadays when people are raised like this. I think, honestly, I got to say, the generation just a little bit after my age that started having babies, so I would say probably 5 years older than I am.
Right.
I really honestly feel like they were the generation of parents who are, I don't know how to say this politely. I'm not going to say it politely. They're the generation of parents that kind of ruined society. They would encourage their kids too much. They would say, you can be anything you want to be. You can do anything you want to do. And you did such a good job. And here's a participation trophy. And it's like, that's not how life works.
No, it's not. I remember playing soccer. If we didn't win,
you're like, sorry, Billy. Go home and sit in the corner and think about what you did.
You should have
kicked that shot.
Yeah, you should have played better. That's what it is, though. And I don't want to point out all millennials, but let's face it, this is what they've been growing up with.
Yes, exactly.
They'll post videos about somebody falling and getting hurt and laugh at it, thinking it's the funniest thing
or
in the world.
Or bullying. People getting bullied and getting beat up, and they're filming it because they want karma. They want likes.
Yeah.
We become way too addicted to technology. I mean, let me give you a little example. We were in Georgetown last week, which is another little quaint little town in the Rockies. We went on a little railroad ride, and we stopped, and there's this
Did they let you wear the little the railroad captain hat?
It's called a conductor, dude.
Yeah, did you wear the hat?
No, I did not wear the conductor's hat, dude. No, but Eric got a picture with the conductor, so thank you very much. No, but we got off to the little spot, and there's a bridge, and it's crossing a river, and we wanted a family photo. And so we asked somebody to take a family photo of us. We all lined up.
Yeah.
And right before he takes the photo, obviously there's like a 3-foot gap in between the photographer and us.
Right.
And this teenage millennial girl walks right through the frame, chomping on her gum, staring at her phone like... Just looking at her phone, completely oblivious to anything that's around her. I swear to God, there could have been like a nuclear explosion and she would have not noticed.
Yeah.
And she walks right through our frame and I'm like, thank you. And she didn't even acknowledge me. So right after the photo was taken, I noticed that her and her friends wanted to get a photo. So she handed the phone off. Oh my God, the best idea. So she gets in. I wait. Misa's like, come on, we got to go. I'm like, hold on, I got to do this.
Right.
I wait for her to get in position. The lady goes to take a photo. I step right into the middle of her frame and I'm picking my nose and I'm looking right at the photographer as they're doing it. And I think she clicked it a couple times. She's like, oh my God.
Oh,
and
I'm my
like,
Lord.
And then I look back at her, the girl that walked through our frame, and I'm like pretending to chop my gum. I'm like, you're welcome. And I'm twirling my hair, even though I don't really have any hair. It's all short. But I'm like pretending to twirl my hair. I'm like, you're welcome. And I just walk off. And again, she's completely oblivious. She's like, why did this guy just do that?
She has no idea.
This is what we are addicted to. But I want to mention, you know, I think companies are starting to realize how addicted we are to technology.
Oh, yeah.
And even though as much as I hate them, Apple is actually coming out with something that may actually help people a little bit.
Really?
You think? Well,
I think it's ridiculous.
I think it's ridiculous too. But
here's
the story.
Here's what Apple's doing.
It comes from Bloomberg. Okay. It says that Apple engineers have been working on an initiative dubbed Digital Health, a series of tools to help users monitor how much time they spend on their devices and inside of certain applications. The details are going to be bundled into a menu inside of the settings in the new iOS 12.
Right.
This is what they plan to call it. Yeah. They say we need to have tools and data to allow us to understand how we consume digital media, said Tony Fadell, a former senior Apple executive who worked on the original iPhone. We need to get finer grain language and start to understand that an iPhone is just a refrigerator. It's not the addiction. I don't really understand what he means by that. I don't really store food inside my iPhone.
I have pictures of food. You know?
I have pictures of food.
Yeah.
but I get what they're trying to do. They're trying to say to people, like, look, you're spending too much time on your phone. And it's become a daily occurrence. I cannot go a single day without driving to work and not seeing at least 3 to 4 people who are driving, not parked at a stoplight, driving on their cell phones, looking at their phone screens.
I have to tell you this. Not to digress. This past week, and we talk about the younger set always on the phones, and they're saying that even with the rules like we have here in Arizona, that the people, the millennials that are out there, are still using the phones and driving and texting and still doing that. I have seen it, and it's not just millennials. I see people my age doing that. However, the coup de grace this past week,
what does that mean?
That means like this is the top prize.
Okay, just say that then.
Okay,
don't get all French on me and stuff.
The top prize goes to this guy who was driving a white van, like an old Econoline van.
Did it say free ice cream on the side?
No, it didn't.
Okay,
but I looked over at this guy, and I would have taken a picture, although it's illegal to pick up my phone while I'm driving.
You would have been doing the same thing he was.
Yeah. He was. He actually had a book on his steering wheel, and he was reading while he was driving.
That must have been a damn good book.
I kid you not.
You know what? I bet you it was Ready Player One. I bet you it was Ready Player One because I could not put that book down.
The guy was reading while he was driving. I know other people have done that.
Well, hey, I mean, I've seen people doing makeup, eating pizza and burgers. I mean,
well, I eat while I drive. I go from job to job. Sometimes I eat as I'm driving, so I'll do that. You know, that's not that bad.
Well, that's what they're saying.
Well, yeah. Maybe not. I'm still safe. Nobody has come out with a law. Nobody's come out with a law that you drink coffee when you drive to work.
I drink it at the stoplight.
You don't pick it up while you're driving down a freeway?
Nope.
Oh. Well, maybe I should stop.
I am so much holier than thou.
Okay, so my thoughts on this whole Apple thing. It sounds to me a little like what Netflix is doing. Because Netflix has this thing now. And people say, well...
Oh, I remember this.
All right, so next, you're watching Netflix and you know, you're binge watching. You watch a Game of Thrones or whatever on Netflix. They say, are you still watching?
Well, no, I mean that I don't think that's for people that are binge watch. I think that's because they don't want to be spending the data that they have to do to send you content when you're not there watching it.
You don't think it's for your goodness overall digital health?
No, they don't care. They want you to watch more. That's how they make more money.
So they just want to make sure you haven't fallen asleep and pretty much leaving the TV on.
Yeah, and because here's the thing. Look at it from a technical standpoint, okay? You're taking up bandwidth from their circuits, all right? So if you're not there watching the content, they need to release that bandwidth and give it to somebody else who needs the bandwidth.
Got it. Wait, so when I was watching Mrs. Maisel? No, it wasn't Mrs. Maisel. I was watching some show on Netflix. When I was watching,
not Lifetime?
When I was watching The Golden Girls on Netflix.
I'm on a roll today.
And I got that. Should I have felt bad that I'd been watching it so long they had to ask me?
Hey. I think what it is if you don't press any buttons for a certain amount of time, that's when they don't. If you're constant, like after every episode, you're like, click next, they won't bother you about it. I think it's built into the application, whatever you're watching on a Fire TV, Apple TV, whatever it is. It's built into that if there's no activity for X amount of period, ask the person if they're still watching. If there's no response within X amount of period, disconnect the service, free up the bandwidth, give it to somebody else. I'm pretty sure if we were to talk to Netflix right now, that's what they would say. I don't really think that they would care based on, you know, how much you watch. If you really are watching, were you clicking buttons during that time?
No,
you
just watching.
Yeah, one after another, right?
Yeah.
So that's what they thought. They were just like, oh, he's not there anymore. We need to free up this bandwidth.
Now, that's what's going on when somebody gets it. So it's not necessarily for your digital health. But that's kind of what the Apple thing sounds to me. Because honestly, somebody who's using their phone as their mode of communication and all that, you know, yeah, it's too much. But then again, come on, think about how we use our smartphones now. Oh, I had to change a headlight in my car the other day. I had to go to YouTube to figure out how to do it.
Oh, yeah. I do it all the time.
We do that around the house. You want to look up something. You know, now I have my iPhone 8, so now I'm using the Siri functions of it by asking it questions. And it's great. My boss was blown away because he said, you know, he was asking me, you know, will you look up stuff on the net? I said, I just use my phone. I want to find out when a certain album came out from ZZ Top. I just asked
Google.
Yeah. I just ask Google, you know, Siri, I do all of that stuff, and it will give me the answer. So our smartphones can be incredibly useful, but yes, with the people who have it buried in their face, who walk through people's photos, yeah, that's no good.
You know, speaking of Google and Amazon, I have to say that a couple weeks ago, I actually changed. I talked about you doing this. I got rid of Home Assistant.
Right.
Which was my home automation system. Home Assistant is a free version of home automation, but it requires a lot of coding experience and stuff. I decided to go with Wink.
Oh, you did? And okay, good.
I got it. And
now, did you get, because I was going to send you the Wink Hub too, but there was a step up, which was more like a security feature. Is that the one you got?
Yeah, I got the Wink Lookout. So it's basically the Wink Hub 2 with a siren, a motion detector, and two door sensors. But I purchased an extra door sensor on top of that. I hooked it up. I got to say, initially, not that impressed.
Right.
It's not really a security system in terms of it doesn't arm itself.
Oh, really?
When I'm gone. It, like, if I leave the house, I have to actually turn the alerts on. And when I say turn the alerts on, all that does is it sends me an alert to my phone that says, hey, your door just opened. It doesn't turn the siren on. I don't know how to really turn the siren on. I mean, I got to play around with it a little bit more, and it's been kind of hard with Eric, you know, because he's sleeping when I have free time.
Yeah.
So I don't want to wake him up with a siren blast. although that would be pretty hilarious. But I have to say, I don't like it so far in the current iteration of what it has. Now, that being said, I have to say, I also took this opportunity to really dive deep into my Google Home. Because remember, I have Amazon Alexa, but I also have Google Home.
Right.
And I decided to really dive deep into my Google Home. And the reason I did that is one night, this is a while back here, before I got the wink, my Google Home used to sit in this office next to me where I'm now talking to you at, which is about 20 feet away from my living room around a corner.
Okay.
And I'm in my living room one night. And I went to say it to my phone. I picked up my phone, which is an Android, and I said, okay, Google, blah, 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 blah. I remember what I asked it. All of a sudden, the Google in my office responded, which, again, is 20 feet away around a corner. So somehow it heard me, and it responded with the perfect answer that I wanted, whereas Alexa, I tested the same thing. Alexa was like, I'm sorry. I don't know what that is.
Yeah.
So I'm like, okay. All right, we're going Google now.
Okay.
So I put in the Google. I absolutely love it. Here's one of my favorite features of all. My wife, who is Japanese, can speak Japanese to Google Home, and it will respond to her in Japanese.
Without having to change user or anything like that, right?
Nope. I have to add her as a user, but it recognizes her voice.
Right.
So if I try to speak Japanese, which is I obviously don't know how to do, but if I try to speak it, it's like, you're drunk, Justin, go home. But if Misa speaks Japanese to it, it's like, boom, immediately responds back to her in Japanese. It's freaking amazing.
Wow.
And it works really good with the Wink. Although I do got to say, Alexa does work a little bit faster with the commands. If I tell Alexa to turn on the dining room lights or whatever it is, it works a little bit faster. Google has to kind of think about it for about a second or two, and then it does it. But I do love the Google Home. I love it because I can, I really feel like it's an assistant, not just a home automation device.
They keep talking about taking Alexa and making it smarter, making it more, more flowing in its conversational.
Well, what was this whole Super Bowl ad about? I mean, they didn't do anything after the Super Bowl.
And I feel the same frustrations because, honestly, when I go to bed now that I have the Siri feature, I'll tell Siri and it just feels more, not robotic, it feels more flowing. So everybody has said, though, that if you like Siri, you're going to love Google Assistant more than you will like the Amazon Alexa. Although, man, it's there.
Did you see that video that was put on by the CEO of Google about where the Google Assistant actually calls and makes a hair appointment
for somebody? Yeah, I did see that, yeah.
My gosh. Okay, if you have not heard about this, if you haven't seen it, just Google it. Google Assistant hair appointment. It is amazing. The actual AI actually calls a hair salon and is able to hold a conversation with a real human being. And the human being has no idea they're talking to an assistant.
Right.
They have no idea they're talking to AI. It actually calls, makes an appointment, then puts it in your calendar and books it for you.
Now, one thing I want to mention for anybody who has the Alexa that decides, you know what, I want to go ahead and switch over to Google. So you go out, you buy the Google, which they're cheap now. They're like, what,
$129 at Walmart for the main one and like $79 for the mini.
So you can find them, you know, depending on your deal.
Yeah, there's a lot of deals out there.
But a lot of people, what happens is they've had the Alexa for a couple of years. I mean, I think I'm going on 2.5 years with mine, 3.
Okay.
They hook up the Google Assistant and they expect it to have that same flowing capabilities that the Alexa might not have, but it's not up to par. The reason is it has to learn. So you have to remind yourself that Google Home Assistant.
It's like raising a baby.
It's exactly. It will still need to learn. So don't expect it to be great right off the bat. Give it some time, and not much time, but give it some time for it to learn your voice, learn other things. Now, you know, Alexa's gone through a lot recently, and we need to mention this. With the recordings, of course, we haven't had a chance, you and I, to talk about this woman who had a recording of a conversation, and it got sent out.
That's her fault.
Well, the thing is I went through this. I do not want to have my smartphone tied to my Alexa. Some people like that feature. I don't. I don't need it. I've got my phone. Carry it with me. A lot of people went through it. And there was a time when Amazon first started doing this that once you got it set up, you could not remove it yourself. You had to call tech support. They had to walk you through it and get it removed. Yep. So number one, don't tie your smartphone to it. Now, maybe that's something they'll work out and it'll be better. I don't know. The other thing is people suddenly found that, wait a minute, what is my Alexa recording? So I will say this in case you haven't heard any of the news reports. It is so easy to find out. If you have the app, just go to the app. Once you're in the Alexa app, then go to settings. All right. Then what you want to do is, and I'm pulling my app up here. Okay. So I open the Alexa app. Then you go ahead and you go to the little hamburger, they call it. That's that little three lines at the top left. Then you go into settings. Then once you're in settings, you wait for it to load up. Then you go ahead and you scroll down and you go to history. Then when you're in history, you're going to see notes. Now it'll say, Alexa, actually it heard me a second ago because it just says it heard me saying more and more flowing. Every time it hears its name, Alexa, it's recording.
Yep.
So, and I can see it here. But
yeah, you can see it popping up there.
Yeah. Now, once in a while, you may see text not available. Click to play recording. So what you want to do is click on that. All right. And you wait. It'll take a second to load and it won't play right away. But then you can hit play and it will play whatever it recorded. It can be background audio. It may just be noise. But it's something that triggered it enough to record. So again, it's something and if you want to record them, you can. However, Amazon is saying you generally don't want to do that because if you do that, what happens is it loses some of its training. All of this is training for it to understand. Now, I can be in another room. Like right now, I'm honestly two rooms away from the Alexa. And I can say, Alexa, what time is it? And she's saying the time right now. And it's two rooms away. And I set it just at that volume. So again, it is pretty amazing how it can pick up. So just so you understand what's going on.
That's
kind of
what I was talking about with the Google, Google Assistant. I was like so far away from it and it still picked up my voice. But I do got to say, there's one thing annoying about it because I do own an Android Wear watch. I own an Android phone and I have a Google Home.
Right.
So when I say, okay, Google, it's like they race to see who's going to be the first one to pick up. Because all three devices are like, bing, bing, bing. They're all listening. And I just ask the question and it's whatever device is the fastest to get back to their servers and get back to me with the answer is the device that takes it. But what happens is I lose functionality on my watch, my phone, during that time while it's searching and waiting for the other device to get back to me. So that's a little annoying. I wish that I guess I could turn the features off on my phone.
Right.
But I do use my phone and ask questions like that when I'm away from my home.
Right.
But when I'm at home, it's annoying.
Can a house have two devices and work okay when it comes to having
people have like four or five Google Homes in their home. I mean, you can have them all.
What about
over
crossing them? Well, where you have an Alexa.
Don't ever cross the streams.
You have the Alexa and then you have the Google Home.
Well, I mean, they're obviously different things. They listen to different commands. So, I mean, I have them both.
Right.
My son loves for me to just keep saying, Alexa, tell me a joke, or Google Home, tell me, or OK, Google, tell me a joke. He constantly points back and forth between the two devices because he knows they speak.
Right.
He just wants to hear them talk.
Now, I'll be honest with you. You're going to think I'm nuts, but because of the capabilities that I've been finding with the Siri, I would like Siri to develop and become a bigger product.
Don't stop. Stop.
I would.
Blasphemy.
You know what? It's actually not bad. We got to take a quick break. We come back. We'll have more of Tech Talk Radio for you. Again, if you decide to try any of this, we'd love to get your feedback. What did you think? Did you try the Google Home? Did you try Alexa? How did it work out for you? And do you have somebody who speaks another language in the house? Like maybe, well, Japanese or maybe good old British. Does it, is it able to determine it?
God, you are so horrible with that accent. Just stop. Guys, you can find us on the web at techtalkradio.com. You can also find us on Facebook, facebook.com/techtalkers. We'll be right back. Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. I'm Justin Lemme.
I'm Andy Taylor. Thank you for being here. Of course, earlier this week, Apple had their Worldwide Developer Conference.
Mm.
And they've introduced some, you know, some Mac news and... Okay, come on, Android boy.
I'm sorry. Wait. What were you talking about? What?
But they introduced some you know, Apple news for people who really wanted to have it. They want to know what's going on with Mac.
I don't understand why they call it Worldwide Developer Conference when it's all about Apple.
Well, it's developers for Apple. It's worldwide.
Yeah, well, they should call it Worldwide Developers of Apple Conference.
Then it wouldn't
There's
sound
a lot
cool.
more than just, yeah, well, Apple's not that cool.
Well, one of the things that just threw me is, you know, we knew they were going to talk about iOS 12. We knew, as we mentioned earlier, they've got some health features, digital health features that they're trying to add in. There's some other things that they're doing. But one of the things that just surprises me, because, all right, let's face it, BlackBerry focused on the business user, didn't they? Mm-hmm. You know, this is the user for the BlackBerry. BlackBerries were great devices, but, you know, they didn't really appeal to the person who just want to have fun. I mean, it really would never.
Yeah.
You never looked at BlackBerry and said, oh, this is going to be so much fun.
Yeah. No, never.
But Apple, they kind of have to do that. Although, you know, the business world does use Apple devices as well as Android devices. But one of the things they introduced was Memojis. And everybody gets all excited about this. Oh, Memojis. Yeah, so what Memojis is you'll be able to take a you know, like a blank canvas and add to create your personal Memoji, so which is like a likeness of you.
So basically, what Nintendo's been doing for years.
Oh yeah, with the Wii.
So basically, everything Apple's been doing for centuries is ripping off other companies,
right? So you've got this. But here's the thing. Now, I want you to really listen closely to what I'm saying.
It's
going to
be so hard for me to do that, but I'll.
All right. So you create this Memoji. And then you can animate it. So you can have this Memoji, you point the camera at you, and this Memoji can have a conversation. Rather than pointing at your real face, you point it at your face with a Memoji.
Oh, so my God.
It has a conversation with somebody on the other end that's looking at your Memoji rather than your own face. Because your own face is not good enough. Now you have this Memoji that looks like you, and the technology abounds. It's amazing, right?
That is so worth $1,000 for a new phone.
But it gets better. It gets
Hashtag
better.
Hashtag sarcasm.
All right. What takes it up a notch is these Memojis are now capable of tongue detection. Now, what that means, my friends, is that you could be looking at your smartphone and your Memoji that's having a conversation with somebody on...
Can French kiss the other person?
No.
Oh.
You can stick out your tongue, and it will stick out the tongue of your Memoji. So, imagine this.
I bet you that cost Apple $1 billion just to research how to do that.
You're walking by somebody's office, and there they are. You know, it's embarrassing enough when you get caught taking a selfie, right? Because I do that once in a while. You know, say, oh, yeah.
Well, let me you're take usually it. On the toilet. So
let me take a selfie. Don't give away my secrets. You're taking.
You send them to me like every morning. You're like, oh, guess what I had for dinner last night.
So you're taking a selfie. You know, with Snapchat, you got your little filter, and it's embarrassing. If you walk by and you're making a funny face or whatever, you know, and you oh, okay. Well, can you imagine now? With the tongue detection Memoji, you'll be holding that smartphone and you'll be going, sticking your tongue.
This is absolutely life changing. This is going to make people look even more idiotic than they actually do right now. You know what? 2014 through 2018 was the duck face.
Yeah.
Now it's going to be the tongue face.
What are they thinking? And then they stand up and applause. This is huge.
Yeah. Oh, they're boy. Like, oh my God, this is the greatest thing to come to humanity since the invention of a light bulb. It's emojis.
I never knew I would have such a need for tongue detection.
This is why I'm so glad I am done with Apple. I mean, they are just such BS.
Oh, come on now. Come on now. Android will do the same thing. You know that.
They've been doing it for years.
Why are we making fun of them?
Because they don't advertise it. They don't make it a big deal. They don't. Okay, here's why we don't make fun of Samsung or Android. Is because they don't hold a conference to talk about how you can detect your tongue on an emoji.
Google,
no, they don't.
Google
they don't
just
hold a huge.
Google just hold, had the I/O conference. Come on.
Yeah,
that was
and
huge.
Guess what? They didn't talk about how you could detect your tongue on an emoji. They talked about the Android assistant booking a hair appointment for somebody in the background without them knowing, you know, without them having to do it. That is real world application, my friend.
I will give you that. I will definitely give you.
God, I hate Apple.
But look for that to come with the iOS 12 and your iPhone 10 devices. He's not a fanboy of Apple, as you could tell.
Not
but
at
I honestly, that's what I picked out of it, and I thought, oh my. I would like to see more greater strides coming with the, you know, the Apple TV. I would like to see more features of the stereo.
They're giving up on all. Well, actually, no way. I take that back. Apple TV just announced. I saw a little article on my newsfeed today. It says something about Apple TV is now getting Dolby Atmos support.
Atmos, yeah.
Yeah.
Now, so, for those that don't know what that is, that's just enhanced stereo, correct?
It's enhanced surround.
Surround sound, okay.
So I think instead of 7.1, it pretends to be like 9.1 or something like that.
Right, right.
So it's like 9 speakers when you only have 7 or 7 speakers when you only have 5. It's something like that. It's I take that back. Atmos is a true surround. So normal 5.1 is you got 2 front,
right,
a center, and
2 rear.
2 surround. And then the 0.1 is the subwoofer, right?
Right, right.
So 7.1, keep those same 5.1s, 2 front, a center, 2 surround. 7.1 adds 2 middle speakers between the front and the rear, so it gives you that side. Whereas Atmos now, I believe, adds 2 top speakers.
Right.
So there's sound coming from the ceiling, which, you know, I have not experienced Atmos in a home theater.
Right.
I've experienced Atmos in a movie theater, but you know, movie theaters, you don't get the application that you would get in a home theater because movie theaters are, you know, professionally designed.
Right.
I mean,
yeah, the sound is intended to bounce to a certain place.
So basically what Apple's saying is we're now supporting less than 5% of the home population.
That's what they're saying.
That's basically what they're saying, because there's about 5% of the population have actually Dolby Atmos surround sound systems in their homes.
Yeah.
So once again, fail on Apple's part, in my opinion.
I think the most important thing for Apple, obviously, the iPhone has always been a big seller, but the problem is now we're finding not only with iPhone users, Android users, the same thing, Google Pixel users, the same thing, that desire to upgrade has become less. And that's the thing, you know, the PC industry went through this for a long time, whereas the operating systems got better, the memory management became better, it became less of a need to upgrade. You went from needing a computer every 2 years to every 4 years to every 5 years. Some people are using their computers now 7 years in. My laptop is about 6 to 7 years old.
Yeah.
And because of that, you know, that affects your bottom line. You need to have that constant money coming in.
Yeah.
So that is why, you know, they're hoping.
That's why they came out with the Memojis. Upgrade to the newest iPhone.
You get Memojis. That's how it works. We take a quick break. We come back. We have more technology to talk about. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Justin Lemme. Find us on Twitter at Tech Talk Radio. We'll be right back.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Justin Lemme.
We thank you for tuning in. We wanted to talk a little bit about, and something we haven't talked about for a while, as people are going to be getting ready to go on summer vacations. They like to go on road trips. I know I've got a road trip going to be coming up soon that I want to take. Mm-hmm. The subject of dash cams always comes up during the summer. Mm-hmm. We get in our cars and the whole bit. And a lot has changed over the past 2 years since the last time we talked to our friends over Cobra. A lot has changed.
A lot.
Number one, price point. And can I mention this real quick?
Sure.
I was in Walmart the other day, and I will just say, I do believe, I think Cobra makes a great product. However, I was shocked and astonished to see what you can get a dash cam for now.
Oh, yeah.
I'm blown away. The Black Web digital dash cam, which is made by basically Walmart, $1,977.
Yeah.
$19.
But again, you're going to get what you pay for.
Right? The same goes.
And if you're getting this dash cam, this is for a particular reason. That is for safety, and you need it to work when you least expect it. You're going to pay $20 for a dash cam. Chances are it's not going to work when you most need it.
Well, hopefully if they have crash, it can detect a crash. I prefer the cameras that are always on, like the Cobras. Yeah. Vivitar has one for $29.99. I mean, these prices are obviously going to vary depending on when you go to the store and all that. But again, they do sell them in there. Now, with that said, if you really do want to step it up and you want to have a great camera, you know, my camera burned up. I don't know if you know that.
Yeah, you told me.
My dash camera was in my Toyota that melted when it was at the shop and burned to a crisp. I haven't had that replaced yet.
Oh, that one.
Okay. Yeah, that was a good one. And that burned.
That was literally a fire. Yeah.
That was the car caught on fire while it was in the shop, and everything that was in there burned, including my little Bavar.
Now, here's the thing that I don't even want to go there. moving on. I want to mention that I've had an issue with the Cobra dash cam. Now, I want to, you know, preface this with the fact that this is not Cobra's fault. Okay. This is not Cobra's fault. They make an excellent product, in my opinion. I've had their dash cam in my vehicle. In fact, I have the newer version of the dash cam, which has a rear camera as well, which comes with like a 30-foot long cable. I've kind of run it underneath my seat, and I mount the rear camera on my rear windshield. So that way, you know, if somebody were to rear-end me, I can catch them texting on their phone and not paying attention on my camera and be like, I caught you. But here's the thing. Dash cams have a technology where they all use, I'm pretty sure 95% of them use SD cards to record, right? And these SD cards, they fill up, obviously. Yeah. But what do dash cams do? Dash cams have the ability to go and then delete the oldest file first and then re-record over it, basically.
Well, I don't even think they delete it. They just start recording over the new one.
Well, I mean, if you think about it, technically, they have to delete a file before they can re-record. I mean, that's how, you know, memory works. You have to delete the memory space first and then, you know, re-record. Anyway, they re-record over the old footage.
Right.
And so that creates a completely looping system where the SD card is constantly getting written to and read from. And standard, you know, SD cards, they're not technically made for that. And I learned the hard way, because a couple weeks ago, I noticed that my camera all of a sudden started saying, please reinsert the SD card. And I'm like, well, I haven't moved the dash cam. I haven't done anything with the dash cam. I don't know why the SD card needs to be reinserted, but okay. So I'd reinsert it. It would read it, and then it would say immediately, please reinsert the SD card. So I started looking up the error message, and it turns out that, you know, the SD card could be failing. And I'm like, that doesn't seem right. I've only had it for a year. But then I started looking into it more, and the more about the constant reading and writing of data to an SD card. And turns out that regular SD cards, they cannot handle the constant reading and writing of data to the disk. So
There's a limit to them? Is that it?
There's really no limit to it. It just wears it down way much, you know, way faster than what was designed the card to be. However, they do have a particular model of SD card. I think it's called Extreme. I really wish I would have done my show note prep before this show.
Well, there's so many different.
No, there's versions. Extreme. I know this is Extreme. I know Extreme SD, but that's not it. It might be something else. Basically, it's about twice. It's twice the cost of what you would get for a standard SD card. But what this card does, it's made for dash cams. It's made.
Oh, really?
For the constant reading and rewriting of data to it. Rewriting. rewriting of data. So it's kind of, I don't know if it's got better transistors in it or what it is, but something about it, it's made for dash cams. And so that's what I'm looking to get, because right now I have an 8 gigabyte SD card, micro SD, again, because they all take micro.
Right.
Is completely dead. But when I put it in my computer, it's like, oh, you're good. And I can format it. I can do whatever I want. But the moment I put it back in the SD cam or the dash cam, it's like, nope, you're not good.
Really?
So the card is failing on me.
Right.
And I put a new card in it. I actually had to take my card out of my old Raspberry Pi, which was a 16 gig.
Right.
I formatted that, put it back into the dash cam. So the way I look at it,
is
I
it
got
working
about,
fine now, though?
It's so, working fine now. It's working fine. It's working fine. But the thing is, I look at it as like, I've got about another year for me to get the new, you know, super industrial strength, if you will, SD card before this card now goes bad. So it's inherent there. So if you even get a cheap dash cam or an expensive dash cam, you want to invest in a good quality SD card. Don't get the cheapest for your money. Get right. the one that's made for the constant rewriting of data to the card. And if you give me a minute, you know, actually during the next break, I'll look it up. We'll come back from the next break and I'll tell you what the card is.
That's a good tip. I like that. That is good. I'm just surprised though, but Cobra quality has always been good. My first Cobra though, I had a problem, and it's something to think about. Make sure if you get one as well.
High endurance. That's what it's called.
But make sure that whatever you get is going to be able to handle extreme temperatures. We know that, you know, in the cold, that can be an issue with some electronics.
Sure.
But imagine in the heat where you don't take your camera out of your car windshield and it sits there, it fries that battery. So again, just something to think about too when you do
well,
that.
I mean, you think about how hot a car could get. I mean, you're looking at, you know, a 90 degree day on the outside will equal up to like 150 degrees inside. Imagine if you're in Phoenix, Arizona, or like yourself in Tucson, where it can actually reach 120 during the day. That's going to be like 180, 200 degree car. No, not 200. 160, 180 degree car.
Yeah. Well, when it's right there in the windshield too.
Yeah.
You don't have the
dash. Yeah, you get the sun beating down on it.
Yeah, that's not good. So you got to, there's something to think about. But you
take your dash cams off. Yeah. Well, I mean, not only just for that, but anywhere you live, you don't want to leave something like that hanging in your windshield. That's just an invitation for thieves to break into your car.
Cobra actually had a feature in there that if it detected motion, it would start recording. So if somebody was looking at your dash cam.
That's great until they steal your dash cam.
But it could send it to your phone. That's what
I thought. Can't.
Yes, they had this feature.
Mine has the feature for recording, but does not have a feature to send it to my phone because it does not have a 3G card built into it.
This was a feature of one of the cards that, maybe my phone had to be close by. Maybe that was it.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure because these.
Yeah.
To do that. And so again, once again, my point is still valid. It's completely
just steal
BS.
The camera.
That seems to be the theme of the show. Let's talk about BS.
Are you thinking now? So you're going to stick with Wink, or are you thinking now about going to Samsung Smarter Things?
Okay, let me put it this way. I would love to go Samsung Smarter Things to test it out. However, I have a wife, and I enjoy being married. So there's your answer.
Yeah.
Point made. I'm going to stick with Wink.
Have you stopped in at a Best Buy or a Walmart recently?
Walmart yesterday.
Okay, so have you noticed that they are now targeting gamers? Because there has been such a switch to people who want to do gaming, whether it be Fortnite or PlayerUnknown Battleground or any of the other games that are coming out. Because the games are coming out. You've got E3 just around the corner. You've got the games that are coming out now that people are wanting to play. And now because of that, they're putting out gaming rigs. They actually have a laptop. And I was so impressed at Walmart. They have a laptop that is from MSI that retails for $1,600. That is a top gaming laptop for gaming. And if you look at Best Buy, you go in there and you take a look there, you're going to see rows and rows now of headphones from SteelSeries, from Logitech, from Corsair, all of the gaming companies, keyboards, all for gaming. Because they realize this is like kind of a resurgence now. Because for a while you saw the starts and then it started disappearing. Now it's coming back where people are able to buy high-end laptops yes, you're going to spend more money for them, but you've got a laptop that is going to last you at least another 6 or 7 years, if not more. And MSI makes some pretty good devices. So MSI, Dell, HP even has one for gaming. I think I would be more prone to taking a look at the MSI one.
Yeah, laptops. I'll admit I will purchase a name brand because, I mean, really, honestly, you can't build your own laptop. I mean, no. It's extremely difficult. But for PCs, standalone desktops, I highly recommend you take the time to learn how to build a PC. It's not that hard. Right. You will save yourself up to thousands of dollars.
Up to thousands of dollars.
Up to thousands of dollars. But wait, there's more.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. So, no, I mean, I love building my own PC. You get so much more for the money. I mean, my current PC is an i7 4.2 gigahertz processor. I've got 32 gigs of DDR5 memory, which is the fastest. I've got two NVIDIA GTX 1080s in SLI mode, which means they're conjunction for gaming. And let's see, I've got a ASRock motherboard, and I've got a full tower case with a window. I've got water cooling. I've got 2 1-terabyte SSDs. I've got a 2-terabyte hard drive, and I've got 2 128-gigabyte SSDs. The whole thing, less than $3,000.
And you can do it, and you're going to have a great computer that you're going to be
and
happy with.
That computer on a regular website would probably cost you around $5,000.
All right, we're going to take a quick break. We come back. We've got our website of the week. We'll share that with you coming up next on Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Justin Lemmy. Again, find us on Facebook, facebook.com/Tech Talkers. We'll be right back.
And now, back to Tech Talk Radio.
I don't want to buy just the absolute primo system out today. That usually wastes money. So I'll be doing some digital photography, maybe some video editing. Don't do any gaming at all, so I don't have that demand on the computer. I was wondering what you guys would suggest, either in brands or just in general speed, and where do you go to get the maximum bang for the buck right now?
Sounds like you want a Mac.
Welcome back to Tech Talk Radio. I'm Justin Lemmy.
I'm Andy Taylor. So, big question, did you reboot your router?
I did.
Okay, now
I just did, actually.
For those that missed it, the FBI issued a warning saying that there were some malicious attempts going on, and most of it directed at consumer-grade routers. So that would be, you know, what you have in your home. A lot of people said, I don't know what a router is. Their son or their neighbor.
It's the interwebs thingy.
Yeah, that's the thing that connects your smart devices, whether they be wired or wireless, to a modem in your home, which is provided by your cable company or you provide it yourself, but that's your connection, and then it connects to a router. But they were attacking routers, and with that, becoming like a middleman, basically capturing your keystrokes, capturing information, the whole bit. So what they recommended is, because of this bug that was delivered via email or comments, et cetera, you could go ahead and reboot your router, and then it would get rid of that bug, and you'd be starting fresh again. But one thing you didn't hear here is them saying, you know, you might want to restart. You might want to reset your password, as well as restarting all of your computers. So, you know, some houses now are 2-3 computers. Restart them all after you do that. Yeah. So something to think about. Yeah. I've got a website of the week for you.
Okay.
I like it. I think you might like it too. If you cannot draw a line to save your life, you can go to autodraw.com. All right. And when you get there, it's an AI experiment. So there we go. All right. So now you have a canvas, a blank canvas, and you can change your pen, you use the text or whatever, but you draw a picture. So I am going to draw a picture of a snowman. All right. Do 1 circle, 2 circles, 3.
Mine's putting random shapes on.
And the AI. Well, if you look above, it says, do you mean? And AI sees what you're trying to do. You can click on that, and there is a perfect snowman for you. So if you can't draw worth a hill of beans,
that's awesome.
Like I can't, there you go. I have a tablet, and I can't draw. But this would give you a chance to maybe get something and at least maybe hone your skills a little better and have some fun. But again, you got to check it out, though. Auto Draw seems like a lot of fun. That's it for this week's Tech Talk Radio. I'm Andy Taylor.
I'm Justin Lemmy. Thank you so much for joining us. You can find us on the web at techtalkradio.com. Send us an email. Give us a shout out. Find us on Instagram as well.
At Tech Talk Radio.
At Tech Talk Radio.
And Snapchat, which you never get on anymore.
I don't get on Snapchat.
Yeah, I'm on there. Andy Taylor 520. Feel free to connect. I'll connect right back with you.
Yeah. All right, guys. We'll see you next week. Have a great week.